Grace and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. 503 years ago, there was a man who had to make a decision. Martin Luther had to decide to nail the 95 Theses on the door and start a conversation about the gospel with the church and to make some changes or just to continue as is, seeing the truth be perverted. About 2,500 years ago, we read just recently about another man who had to make a stand and stand firm in the freedom of Christ, stand firm in the word, whether to pray to his God or and face the lion's den or to pray to the king and kind of keep on with his nice life. Both these men, Martin Luther and Daniel, stood firm in the word. They knew the freedom that they had in Jesus and the promises of God, and they knew how important that was. Those are just two examples of many people who had to stand firm in God's word. And those two aren't the only two examples of people having to stand firm in God's word and firm in the freedom of Christ. We too make that decision and face that situation day after day, don't we? To stand firm in Christ's freedom. Because the world and the devil and our sinful flesh are all attacking the gospel, trying to twist it, pervert it. So today, as we hear God's word, we are encouraged to stand firm through Paul's letter to the Galatians, to stand firm in the freedom that we have in Jesus, to stand firm from things, and to stand firm for that freedom that we have. Our reading is from Galatians chapter 5, and Paul's letter to the Galatians is an interesting letter. It sounds different in the sense of tone of voice compared to his other letters, because the Galatians, believers, people that he had preached to, people that he had shared the gospel with, had been infiltrated by some false teachers. And these false teachers were getting the people to depend not just on Jesus alone and to twist the gospel. So Paul writes this stern letter, really challenging them and really showing the truth that it's all about Jesus and what he has done for us, that we are saved by faith alone and not by what we do. Here at the very near the very end of Galatians, we kind of get to the highlight here that we see how it is all about Jesus and the freedom we have in him and to stand firm in that freedom. We read from Galatians chapter 5. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Mark my words. I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law. You, who are trying to be justified by the law, have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit we eagerly await by faith the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. This is the word of the Lord. Paul says it right away. It is for freedom that Christ has set you free. Therefore, stand firm. The Galatians knew this freedom. They had heard the message about Jesus who died for them and rose from them. They knew what that freedom was, freedom from sin and death and the devil, as Jesus and his death on the cross had given them that freedom. They knew that it wasn't just a political freedom or a temporal freedom, but this great spiritual freedom we have in Christ. They believed it. And yet, what had happened? Those false teachers came to the Galatians, and they twisted God's word. A lot of the Galatians, so if you're wondering where that is, that's like modern-day Turkey. It was a province of Rome. There's a bunch of churches that Paul had went to and preached to. A lot of these Galatians had come out of a Jewish background or were new to Christianity, and so these people coming, these false teachers called Judaizers, also had been coming out of the Old Testament background, the Jewish background. God had given the Jewish people, the Old Testament people, those laws and says, this is my covenant if you do these things. One of those laws that he had given them was circumcision, which was a great sign for Abraham and his descendants, that they were the people of God and that this was the sign of the covenant. And they had to do it. So So as these false teachers were coming to the Galatians, as Paul had left and gone on other missionary journeys, they were beginning to twist the gospel by saying that it's not just Jesus alone that makes you part of God's family, but you also need to be circumcised. You also need both this to be part of God's chosen people. Those Galatian Christians had fallen victim to these lies, and they had been twisted and begun to depend on these outward acts. So Paul had to warn them, to encourage them, to remind them what they have in Jesus, the freedom from and the freedom for. So Paul lays it out pretty clearly. He says, "Mark my words. I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ is of no value to you at all. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law." When you depend on the law, depend on earning your way to heaven, you're kind of missing the point, Paul is saying. You're obligated not just to obey this little part of circumcision, but the entire thing. Yes, we know that God's law is God's word, and it's pure and holy, and we love, as believers, we love God's law. We want to keep it. We want to do it in thanksgiving to God for what he has done for us in Christ. But what those Galatians were being led to believe is that they could do it on their own, and that through the law they would earn heaven. Paul's kind of making a little play on words here. He says, if you be circumcised, allow yourself to depend on these works of the law. Really, Christ owes you nothing, and you owe the law everything. The law is good and holy, but the purpose of the law was not to save us, but to be our tutor, to teach us, to show us just how sinful we are, and to drive us, for those Old Testament believers, to the promise of the one who was to come, Jesus. And for us now who live after Jesus came, to drive us to the one who has come and lived for us, to point us to our Savior. That's the message that Paul needed to show and remind those Galatians again and again. If you want to keep the law, you have to keep the whole law, all of it, all the time. No moments in your life where you can have one sinful thought, word, or deed. It's good for us to hear this message too. It's not just a warning for first century Christians who were being infiltrated by these Judaizers. It's not just a warning for a 16th century German monk who was trying to get the gospel out. It's for us too, because the law, or the threats against the gospel are still attacking us. Everywhere in the world that we go, we live in this world, it tells us that what we do matters, right? And what I do affects my standing in people's eyes. And it can be anything. It can be from the food you eat, to the politics you follow, to how productive you are in your work. There's a morality in all of it. A sense of, I earn my way, I earn my favor. And that can affect us even as Christians. We can fall into the trap of thinking that what I do will bring me closer to God. We can get into the mindset and fall victim to the temptation that because I go to church or watch church faithfully online, because I'm in my Bible all the time, because I give to the church, I don't steal, I don't rob, I don't do all these bad things, that makes me just a little bit better in God's eyes. In reality, what are we doing? We're listening to the same lies that the Galatians listened to. That our works play a part in our salvation, in our standing to be with God, in our status as God's children. What does Paul have to say about that? You who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. When we fall victim to the trap that what we do brings us closer to God, instead of actually getting closer to God, what happens? Our dependence on our works, on what we do, drives us further away from Christ. Alienates us. Separate. Paul reminds us to stand firm and to not listen to those lies and those attacks, to stand firm in Christ's freedom, for this is what Christ's freedom gives you. Christ's freedom gives you freedom from the obligation to the law. Christ's freedom gives you freedom from sin and the accusations of the devil. Christ's freedom gives you freedom from the fear of death. You see, Jesus was perfectly free He sat on heaven's throne, and yet in his freedom, what did he do? He came to this earth and took on human flesh to live in your place, to complete the law in your place, to die your death. He was free, and yet he had the sins, chains of sin, and got dragged into hell, where he suffered it for you. Christ, in his freedom, in his perfect life, in his innocent suffering death, has set you free from sin and death and the devil. Christ, in his life, through the Word, as we hear about him through the Word, has given you something to hope for. That's what Paul points us to. So we're set free from sin and death and the devil, but we're also set free for something. Listen to what he says in verses 5 and then later in verse 6. For through the Spirit we eagerly await by faith the righteousness for which we hope. You see, through word and sacrament, God has brought us into his family by the merits of Christ and through grace. We are now children of God, clothed in Christ's righteousness. We have righteousness now. We have eternal life now. We have the forgiveness of sins now, but we don't always see it. But it is something which we hope for, right? God's righteousness is not something we work for. Paul says God's righteousness is something we wait for. And we wait for it eagerly, waiting for that day when Jesus comes back to judge the living and the dead. And what will he say to those who believe in him? You are not. You are my children. Come take my inheritance. You see, Christ has freed us for hope, eternal life, to stand with him forever in heaven in perfection with joy and happiness eternity. But that's not all. Christ Jesus has also set us free for life in this world. Listen to what he says in verse 6. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. So we have been set free from sin and death and the devil, and now we are set free for love. To love our God, to continue in his word, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. We have been set free from looking only at how good we are or making sure that we are okay. And the gospel lifts our eyes up to see all those around us struggle with the same thing we do. The sense that I need to earn God's favor, that burden of the law that is over everyone. And we can love them, serving them just like Christ served us, loving them just like Christ loved us, sharing with them the good news that in Christ Jesus and him alone, they have hope, freedom, and forgiveness. We are free for love in this world. So my dear Christian brothers and sisters, stand firm in that freedom that you have, that freedom that comes to you through word and sacrament. And so how we stand firm is being in the word, because we need to be reminded day and day again of this freedom that Jesus gives us. Stand firm and don't fall into those temptations of self-doubt where you might wonder, have I done enough? Have I loved my neighbor well enough? Stand firm in the freedom that knowing that Christ and his life gives you the pressure-free life of just saying, what else can I do? And how can I love you even more? Stand firm against the arrogance that says, what I do matters, by always looking to Christ and his death and resurrection for us. Stand firm in the freedom from all those fears, and in the freedom of eternal life that you have waiting for you in Christ Jesus. We think about guys and other Christians too on days like today, Reformation Day, All Saints Day, those who've gone before us. We think about how amazing it was to be Daniel, his bold confession of faith, to be a guy like Martin Luther who, again, trusted in God and stood up to say, let's bring the gospel back to people. We marvel and we wonder, as Pastor Brown asked us in the second reading, what would we say in those situations, right? And maybe you're like me and you go, I don't know if I could say the same thing they did. That's incredible. But here's the good news. The same thing that they trusted in, the same God that they trusted in, the same hope that they had, you have. And it's the same power working through them that through the word fills you up with Christ's freedom and holds you in the faith. So that day when he does come back, our Savior Jesus, he will say to you, well done, good and faithful servant. Here is the righteousness for which you were waiting. Amen.